Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports. It's brought to you by Sammy Sue's Barbecue in Dover. Now, with the latest, here's Joe Geckler and Chris Cale.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Sammy Sue's Barbecue Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler, along with Eric McElroy. Eric filling in for Chris Cale today. We're past the 4th of July. The NBA is in full swing of the free agency period, Eric. Lots of going on. It is unbelievable what has gone on and what's not going on.
I tell you what, and it seems like the Cavs are at the center of a lot of these.
Yeah, they're doing something?
Yeah, at the center of a lot of these rumors going around. First of all, we'll start off with them not even having a general manager in the front office. I don't know who's running the team. I know Dan Gilbert's signing checks. I don't know who is receiving those checks in terms of the front office.
Well, LeBron's always ran the team, right? So maybe he's just doing it from his house now.
Funny. Okay. This came down earlier this morning, Joe. Apparently, Dan Gilbert offered Chauncey Billups somewhat of a low-ball offer to join the front office of the Cavs. Apparently, it was $2 million annually. I know the Lakers hired a first-time GM, I think, a year or two ago. They paid him $5 million off the rip annually. Chauncey probably felt like it was a punch to the gut. So he said, you know what, I don't want the job.
Yeah, you know, I can understand, but Chauncey's raw at this. He's never been a GM. I think $2 million to start out, I think was a good offer for somebody that's never had GM experience. How can you expect to come in and get a big-time role in an organization that you've never had experience in? You expect them to throw the Brinks truck at you. But $2 million a year for something, you know, that he's doing, he's staying in the game, he's around some of the greatest players in the world, a great organization, but you know what? That's his call, and we'll see where the Cavs go from there. But I haven't heard of any other rumors of anybody coming in as a GM.
No, I don't know who the assistant GM was under David Griffin. I think he may have left with Griff, and there was somebody else there left in the fray. I don't know if he's the one making the calls there right now or not. Also, Chauncey Billups, he's part of that Big Three league with Ice Cube, basically 3-on-3 basketball with a bunch of old NBAers. Guys are just out there getting hurt because they're so old. And then Chauncey's also going to stay on with ESPN to break down games that way. Some other big Cavs news. Richard Jefferson said yesterday that he plans on coming back to the Cavaliers next season. Will they have him? Well, I mean, he's under contract. It will be his 17th as a professional. Right now, he's 37.
Yeah, you know, he was productive. I'm not taking anything away from Richard Jefferson. He was productive, gave good minutes off the bench, even started some games for them. I think, you know, that'll provide some veteran leadership to this team that they need. But, you know, it's kind of hard to watch all these other teams, you know, go through free agency and sign this guy, sign that guy, and trade this guy, and trade that guy. And yet, we're yet to see the Cavs really make any big splashes.
Yeah, none yet. Just in terms of Jose Calderon, I was surprised the Cavaliers signed him, backup point guard veteran. He's 35 years old. He was barely hanging in the league last year, was traded a couple times, cut by a team. I'll be surprised if, say, by like March or April, Jose Calderon's even still on the Cavaliers roster. Also, they re-signed Kyle Korver. And in terms of other moves, Joe, they're obviously in the rumor mill with Carmelo Anthony. Whether that happens or not, I don't know if the Knicks want Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony straight up. They maybe want to get a little bit younger. Problem is, Cavs don't have any assets. That's why they're trying to get a third team involved in that trade.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I want to. I would take Carmelo, absolutely. But I think that we need Carmelo with Kevin Love. So if there's any chance of a buyout, anything like that, to bring Carmelo to Cleveland, I would be more for that than trading away one of our top players for another top player. Still gives us the big three, but when you got a team out west 5 hours and they have the big four, so to speak, you know, with Durant and Curry and Thompson, and it's tough to compete with that. We saw what they did to us in the finals. We need another a big gun to the Cavs. And
yeah, the argument could be, is Carmelo maybe a little more athletic out there on the wing than Kevin Love? Is he maybe a better scorer, a better shooter than Kevin Love? Some would argue that. We'll see if it happens. Obviously, we know LeBron and Carmelo are boys. I've been saying ever since the season ended, I've been telling you and Joe what, Carmelo will be in a Cavs uniform. I still think that's probably the case. I don't know if it'll happen before the season starts. Maybe one of those midseason transactions, which I think would be worse for the Cavs, bringing in somebody like that midseason. It'd be nice to get him on the roster before training camp.
Yeah, I think if it happens, honestly, I think it happens before the season starts. That's just my opinion. But, you know, other things that the Cavs rumored to be doing, there were some rumors out there that they were shopping around Iman Shumpert to the Rockets.
Yeah.
But there's a cap issues on each side of it. The Rockets are over the cap. The Cavs
are well over the cap.
Yeah, absolutely. So they got to trade salary for salary, and it would be kind of a salary dump, and you're not really saving that much money.
Yeah,
so
they're trying to make some moves to free up some money, are the Cavaliers, to see, I mean, who they can bring in to try to help this squad. If you were to ask me now, are they still the best in the East? Yeah, the best of the NBA, I think that's clear. They're not the best team in the NBA. Huge free agency signings, Joe, really since the last time Big Z Sports got to talk. Chris Paul obviously going to the Houston Rockets. That's a big deal there. Obviously, Houston, another one of those teams in talks to maybe acquire Carmelo Anthony. That would certainly change things out there in the West. Blake Griffin decided to stay in L.A., signed a five-year deal with the Clippers. Paul George, that was a player rumored to be coming to Cleveland. He was traded to Oklahoma City. That was kind of a shocking move because a lot of folks didn't see Paul George, at least for 1 year, because after this year he's a free agent. A lot of folks didn't see him heading to Oklahoma City. Steph Curry, that five-year max contract, $201 million with the Golden State Warriors. I think we all pretty much knew Steph was re-signing with Golden State, as did Kevin Durant. What was his 2 years? $56 million,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but he took a discount.
He did. He left $9 million on the table, enabling the Golden State Warriors to sign guys like David West to another one-year deal, and Andre Iguodala agreed to a three-year, $48 million deal. He's like 34 or 35 years old. So Iggy and David West coming back to Golden State.
And they also signed Sean Livingston back.
Yeah, they
the
did.
Warriors.
Yeah.
So
three years, $24 million.
They're bringing back some of their core that they had, and that was Durant's reasoning for taking less money, so to speak.
Other big moves that went down, Joe, since the last time we really got to talk. Seems like all these East All-Stars are heading west. You had Paul Millsap going from Atlanta, now out west. I can't recall. Denver. And then you had Jimmy Butler being traded from Chicago to Minnesota. He's an All-Star. And also there was a third guy who it's escaping my... Oh, that was Paul George going to Oklahoma City. So three All-Stars right there. Heading from one conference to the other.
If you look at the one that intrigues me the most is Butler going to Minnesota.
Yeah, that's a good young team.
Look at that team. They got Butler, Wiggins, and Karl Anthony Towns.
Still 3 years away or so, 2 or 3 years away in my book.
But still a really good team. They're going to make some
noise.
If
you ask me, they're a 7 or an 8 seed.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, they've got some good athletic kids that can score the ball. They don't really have a point guard right now. They traded Rubio away to the Jazz, trying to entice Gordon Hayward to come back to him.
Didn't happen.
Didn't work, and we'll get to that in a minute.
We'll go ahead and get right to it.
Well, Gordon Hayward, as we mentioned, he visited with the Heat, he visited with the Jazz, and visited with the Celtics. And then we had a couple days, and then there was a report that came out that said he was going to sign with the Celtics, and then later in the day, it was announced that he did sign with the Celtics, did Gordon Hayward. A superstar from the West coming east this
time.
4 years,
$128 million. Yeah, that's one All-Star that went from West to East. That's the conundrum this year. Does that signing give the Celtics the upper hand over the Cavs? Say in a seven-game series, who wins it?
You know, it worries me a little bit.
Oh, come on.
Just because of the fact that the Cavs have stood pat all off season so far. You know, you give the Celtics were a good team last year. You give that scoring threat and that athleticism to the Celtics now, along with Jason Tatum that they drafted in the first round of the NBA draft this year. That team's going to be good. And they got rid of Kelly Olynyk, and they got rid of a couple other guys.
Apparently they were trying to shop Marcus Smart and a couple other guys too to try and make some cap room for the signing of Gordon Hayward. But let me ask you this. Who's better, LeBron or Gordon Hayward?
Well, LeBron.
Who's better, Kyrie or Isaiah Thomas?
Kyrie.
Upper hand still goes to the Cavaliers. I mean, in that series, heck, maybe even the top three guys, if the Cavs still have Kevin Love. You know what? I would say no. But at least the top two. If the Cavs and the Celtics are playing each other, Cavs have the best two players on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. And that
maybe goes, the top three.
And that goes along with anybody they play except for the Warriors. You know, if you look at that, you know, LeBron and Kyrie are the top two best players in the East. And, you go out West and you look at Durant and Curry in the West. But you know what? I Oklahoma City, I'm if we switch back to the West for a second, Oklahoma City – Paul George and Westbrook, that's a pretty good little two-man team there. I mean, I don't know.
Well, they really don't have anybody else besides yeah. those two. They got rid of Victor Oladipo in that trade. I don't know who else they got rid of. Also, I know New York got rid of Phil Jackson. He's out after three full seasons as the team president. That's why a lot of other folks think Carmelo's on the move, because the new regime coming into New York, maybe you want to get a little younger. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the rest of the way, and it's going to be fun to talk about, especially if the Cavs can make a splash here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, they need someone in the front office to try and make a splash. You can have Dan Gilbert making all these
moves. Did you apply for it, Eric?
I did not.
Would you have taken the $2 million
a year? Right now. Right now.
I might take half of that. Maybe a third of it.
There you go.
But yeah, the Cavs need a general manager, and hopefully they can do that. We're going to take a quick timeout, come back, talk a little Major League Baseball after this for Sammy Sue's Barbecue in Dover.
Looking for a great place to eat? Then head to Sammy Sue's Barbecue, first place winner of barbecue and ribs in the 2016 Times Reporter Reader's Choice Awards. At Sammy's, they pride themselves on their in-house smoked meats, made fresh to order dinners, side dishes, salads, and made from scratch soups. Sammy Sue's Barbecue is located on Front Street in Dover. Search for them on Facebook, visit their website at SammySuesBarbecue.com, or call 330-602-PORK.
Welcome back into the WTUZ Big Z Sports Sammy Sue's Barbecue Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Eric McElroy. Eric, Major League Baseball time now. The Indians not playing so well, but I think the big concern up on the lake in Cleveland is their head coach or their manager, Terry Francona.
Yeah, that's the main concern right now, Joe. Indians manager Terry Francona admitted to the Cleveland Clinic for tests. Remember, he was in the hospital twice last month for experiencing some lightheadedness. He actually had a little, not an operation on his heart. He had a pacemaker, I do believe, put in. Now, Terry Francona back in the hospital, missing a couple recent games with the Cleveland Indians. Doctors still trying to figure out what is causing him to become lightheaded. And no discharge date really set for Terry Francona. Doctors still running a whole bunch of other tests. Meanwhile, the Indians on the playing field, still, Joe, struggling with inconsistency throughout the year, and having the manager gone isn't going to help things.
Absolutely. I mean, they've had some good pitching as of late. Corey Kluber is obviously the pitcher of the month for last month. And, you know, their offense, you know, it's inconsistent, like you just mentioned. The other night, Kluber pitches his butt off, and they lose 1-0. You know, and then you get a decent outing from Bauer, you get decent outings from everybody else, and then the offense in there. But then you get the offense and the pitching's not there. So they got to find a happy medium somewhere. And I think if Tito can get back and get the, you know, get the troops back together, I think they're going to be all right. But the pitching needs to keep, that's going to keep you in games no matter what. But
yeah,
the offense right now is struggling a little bit. Carlos Santana out on paternity leave. They call up Almonte to take his place. They just don't, I mean, it just seems like they get runners on, they can't get them in.
Well, you mentioned getting runners on. They had 14 hits last night, did the Tribe in that 6-2 loss. They went 4 of 15, though, with runners in scoring position. You mentioned the Tribe's pitching. Corey Kluber, maybe the best pitcher in the American League since he came back from the disabled list from that injured back. You mentioned that Tuesday, July 4th game, Indians fell 1-0 off that gem pitch by Kluber. By the way, when Kluber's being in the conversation with names like Bob Feller in terms of Indians club history, and like I think he's at four games now, five games, 10 or more strikeouts.
Yeah, he broke the record the other night.
Yeah, so when you're in that conversation, you know you're doing something right. Tribe and Padres this evening, Indians trying to get at least one game in that series. 44-39, the Indians record right now, only a half game up on Kansas City in the AL Central. Minnesota slipped a little bit. They're a game and a half back of the Cleveland Indians there in the Central.
Yeah, it's been a tough stretch. They're great on the road. They don't play very well at home, which is kind of weird to see a major league team or even a professional team not play well at home. Indians don't play very well at home.
They have a better record on the road. Yeah, which is kind of a weird thing. Taking a look at the other baseball teams here in the area, of course, the Cincinnati Reds. They lost to the Rockies last night 5-3. Cincy right now 36-48, 9.5 back of Milwaukee. Milwaukee surprising folks. They're starting to build somewhat of a lead over the Chicago Cubs in the National League Central. Of course, the Cubs over the Indians last year, 7 games, World Series. We all remember what happened. Pittsburgh right now, they are 7 games back, 39-46 in the standings. They beat Philly. The battle for the Keystone State, 5-2 was the final yesterday.
Don't know what the battle was all about for the Keystone State, but anyway.
That's what they call Pennsylvania, Keystone State.
I know. But if you go back to the Reds game last night in Colorado, Eric, I know you didn't see this. I did see this. The rookie pitcher for the Colorado Rockies, John Gray, hit a 467-foot home run.
That's the longest home run hit by a pitcher in some time.
So, but say what you want about Coors Field in Colorado. Pitchers are hitting bombs now.
Other games this evening, well, actually afternoon ball, Cincy at Colorado, and then Pittsburgh at Philly later on tonight. Then after today, Joe, the Indians begin a weekend series with the Detroit Tigers. Of course, that's important AL Central rival. And then the Reds, they head out west to Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks, who are a darn good squad, 52-33. Then the Pirates, they get the Cubs as the the Cubs, they'll get right in that series against the Pirates.
Yeah, you would think they would.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the Reds going out to Arizona. That's going to be a tough series for them. But we'll get into the All-Star game next week when we record. Yeah. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about all the
home run derby next time we get together.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk.
And we'll see if Carmelo's a Cav by next week.
Hopefully, Carmelo will be a Cav.
Or if the Cavs have a GM, that'd be cool.
That would be even better, I think. Well, I don't know about better, but it would be a good start.
It'd be something.
Yes, it would. Eric, good talking to you today. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Joe.
With that, this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Sammy Sue's Barbecue Podcast will come to a close. For Eric McElroy, I'm Joe Geckler saying thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Big Z Sports Sammy Sue's Barbecue Podcast.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.